Praise the Lord for the rock that we can go to. God has brought us to this passage of Scripture this morning. Our theme verse is taken from the first verse. We look at several other parts of the psalm. But the theme that God has laid on the message for today is an enlarged heart while distressed. An enlarged heart while distressed. It's not a good thing if the doctor comes to you, and I hope no one here has this right now. I'm obviously not trying to make fun at all, but it's not a good thing if the doctor came to you and said, I just want you to know, Ben, that we've tested your heart, and unfortunately, it's enlarged. It's not supposed to be how big it is. That's not a good thing to hear. We're not talking about that kind of an enlarged heart. I think you probably know that. Spiritually speaking, I believe this is something that we must ask the Lord for on a regular basis. God, would you please enlarge my heart? And I hope and pray that as we go through this chapter, as well as other verses of Scripture, that you will take that upon yourself as well. David is the human penman of this psalm. Of course, he was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God when he wrote this psalm. And he makes an indication right away in the very first verse that God has enlarged him. God has enlarged him. I don't know exactly what that meant per se. It could be that his goals were enlarged for life. It could be that his compassion was enlarged for the people or others in his life. It could be his zeal was growing, or his desire for the Lord and the things of the Lord, or maybe even his faith was growing. I'm reminded in recent days, though, that it's not even necessarily the size of our faith as much as it is where our faith is placed. Because a mustard seed is not very big, as the last time I checked. But a mustard seed faith can move a mountain, because the mustard seed faith is in the one, capital O-N-E, who can do anything but fail. If I've got giant faith in me, guess what that's going to get me? About this much. That's a big fat zero, all right? And even, I'm sorry ahead of time, but if I've got giant faith in you, guess what that's going to get me? Big fat zero, sorry. It's the truth. My faith is not to be in you. My faith is definitely not to be in me. My faith is to be in the one who is the rock. And when my faith is in him, it can. Now, we do want our faith to grow, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying, let's be careful where we place our faith. God did something in David's life that gave him a greater capacity. Think about this now. God did something in David's life to give him a greater capacity for the Lord and for the things of the Lord. I don't know, Brother Joey, are you able to help get one of those little guys on? Or there he is. Would you be able to help me get one of these on? I got to enlarge my coast here today. Testing 1, 2. Oh, there we go. Great job, Jacob. Great job. I might use this, all right? I think I'll go ahead and use this. Thank you, Jacob. God did something in his heart that enlarged or gave him a greater capacity. Would you read verse 1 out loud with me? Would you do that for me? Let's read it out loud together. Ready? It starts with the word here. Ready? Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Thank you very much. Did you notice something, though, about David's enlarging? Did you notice what preceded his enlarging? Now, it doesn't precede it in the text, but it preceded it in his life. He said, God, you have enlarged me, but you have enlarged me through distress. He didn't enlarge David through a peaceful season. Now, praise God for peaceful seasons. Amen. But in this particular time, the psalmist, and he's somebody who could tell us about challenging times. This would be, I believe this would is an evening psalm. And, of course, you see the word Selah there a couple of times in your Bible, and maybe you're wondering about that. That is simply, oh, okay, thank you. That's better. That is simply a pause. And these were songs that were sung
And so this would be a pause, take a breath, if you will, within the song or the psalm. But I'm captivated by that thought today that David says that he was in distress and then God enlarged him. It was then and only then that God enlarged David because he was in distress. I don't like that word distress. In fact, I looked it up to see what it meant. I mean, I have an idea. I could explain distress, but here's what Merriam-Webster's dictionary said. It did not help me anymore. It did not encourage me anymore, okay? It says that distress is a pain. I stopped right there and thought, I don't even want to read anymore. I don't like pain. I'm allergic to it, okay? And it's all these times I've been in the hospital and all these tests that have been done and all of you, many of you have had way more than me. But finally, we got through all some, I can't remember how many of them. Finally, they started asking me, Mr. Turner, are you allergic to anything? And I have the same answer now, pain. It at least gives a chuckle a little bit and gives a conversation maybe later on. But in all seriousness, I am allergic to pain. You know, nobody signs up for the pain club. I want to be in the pain club. Make me the president of the pain club, you know. And David says it was when I was in pain. That's what distress is. Pain that you enlarge me. It means a pain or suffering. Not a good start, Merriam Webster, whoever you are. A pain or suffering affecting the body, affecting the mind. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but I think probably if you're of a certain age, I don't know where it starts, but we've all experienced what David wrote about, a distressful time. And I think the important thing that we need to learn right here at the beginning, it's not so much what is the distressful time in our life, but is how am I going to respond? I hope there's one thing that maybe you will learn, not from me, but somebody taught it to me, and I'm just trying to teach it to you, teach it to us, that in our life, we don't want to be reactors. We want to be responders. I want to respond to suffering in the Bible way. I want to respond to distress. A reaction is completely different because a reaction is more of an emotional response to a challenging time. But a response is from whatever God is teaching me. I'm going to respond in a biblical way. David reflects on what it took for him to have this enlargement, and I've just labeled it an enlarged heart. I imagine that when it was happening, David didn't see the blessing or God working, maybe even at all. When the distressful time was coming and he was in the middle of it, I don't know, I'm not David, but I just know me. When you're in the middle of it, that's not really the time that you all of a sudden say, you know what, I know I'm in a distressful time, I'm going to get through this, and God is going to do great things. Now, maybe we grow into that, but I know a lot of times we're the opposite end, and we're in a distressful time. We cannot see what God may or may not do, and what do we need? I was telling somebody the other day, we need discernment. You know, discernment helps me to be able to see what might happen with this decision that I'm about to make. We only get that from God. Discernment and wisdom are so needed in the Christian life. And I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, so, but let's look at several things. Number one, from this text, we see that David spoke with God before speaking with man. I think that's very important that you write that down in your mind or on a piece of paper so that you can think about it later. Verses number 1 and 2, David is speaking to God. Now, if you're think about it this morning, we have the opportunity. We had prayer to begin the meeting. Everybody had a prayer partner. We were praying about this church meeting. We were praying about those grieving today in Vancouver. We were praying for the election tomorrow. And how were we able to do that? We weren't praying to me. I'm not trying to be unkind, but there is no pope, priest, pastor, or anybody that you can pray to for answers. Amen. Now, I'm sorry that somebody passed away this week. I can only hope that that gentleman knew the Lord. I have a very, very slim hope that he knew the Lord. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? It doesn't matter if it's in Rome or in Burnaby. If somebody dies without Christ, they immediately go to hell. I don't say that joyfully or gleefully. I say that with a broken heart, quite frankly. Because it doesn't matter all the pomp and circumstance. It doesn't matter all the political leaders in the entire world come to your funeral or five people come to your funeral. What matters is not who's at your funeral. What matters is, do you know God? What matters is, do I know God? You can't pray to me. You can't pray to the priest. You can't pray to the Pope. That's not going to get anywhere. But when we have the Lord Jesus as our Savior and His blood applied and we have the Holy Spirit of God in us, I'm so thankful that we can enter into the presence of God. And that's what David did. When he was going through a challenging time, he didn't first go to everybody else. He first went to God. I want to encourage us in that way today. How often do we talk too much to men and pray very little to God? Would you meditate on that question? How often do we talk too much to men and very little to God? My constant communication with God will greatly impact the enlargement of my heart. We need to pray more. I say we need to pray more. First Thessalonians 5:17. Paul wrote three words in the English language. Only three. Pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean that you have to walk around with your eyes closed all day praying. Please don't do that if you drive a vehicle, okay? It doesn't mean that you have to be in a closet praying all day. Now, if God leads you to do that one day, do it. But that's not what it means. It means that you and I, as believers, we should be in an attitude of prayer that when something comes onto our plate, we don't immediately talk to someone else. We immediately talk to God. And praise God, we have direct access. Often power in prayer is lacking because there is little passion in prayer. It isn't that we persuade God by our emotional displays, but God wants us to care deeply about the things God cares deeply about. Think about that. God wants Ben Turner to care deeply about what God cares about or who God cares about. Can I tell you someone who God cares about? God cares about lost souls. The Bible says that He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That means God cares about. If you're here this morning and you don't know for sure that when you die, you would be in heaven, I want you to know God loves you and God cares for you. And so because I know that God cares for lost souls, I should care for lost souls. I should pray for people that need Jesus to be saved. I should pray for people in my family, in my neighborhood, at my place of employment, at my school that I go to, at the university, the instructors, my classmates, just anyone and everybody. I know God cares for lost people to be saved. David spoke with God before speaking with men. I think this is very helpful. I hope it is in your life because I've been challenged many times. The more I pray about a matter, the less I complain about the matter. The more I pray about a situation, the less I complain about it. Oh, I just wish I had more income. How about pray about it? Don't complain about it. Pray about it. Boy, I just wish that this relationship could be fixed. Don't complain about it. Pray about it. Boy, if my wife would only, don't complain about her. Pray for her. Man, if my husband would pick up his dirty socks. I haven't worn socks in a year and a half. My wife cannot say that about me in the last 18 months. I just thought about that. Thank you. Okay. There's a lot of other things, though, that I need to work on. Don't complain about your spouse. Pray for them. I say this as lovingly and compassionately as I can, and I know these ladies know that I love them, but we have two ladies in the room right here. I'm looking right at them. They would love to have their spouse back with them. Just recently, their spouse went to heaven. Let's not complain about our this or that or this person or that person or this situation or, boy, if God would only get me out of this. Pray about it. You got yourself into it anyway. I got myself into it anyway. Don't expect God to bail us out of everything we get ourselves into. But instead of complaining about the situation, let's pray about it. David went to God. He said it right there. Hear me when I call. Yesterday, we talked about prayer in the Spanish discipleship. My tongue is getting... it's getting a little bit more Spanish every week, and I had a meeting with a Persian, and then I went right into Spanish. I mean, goodness, this is going to be tongues here pretty soon, and I better not say that quite like that. Languages, okay? Oh, there's a beautiful young lady right there just came in. All right, good to see you. And anyway, tongues. Prayer. We talked about yesterday. In our meeting, I just forgot about it. Boy, I tell you what, that's the brain for you right there. What was I talking about, Brother Jose? Prayer in class in Spanish. No, I did not pray in Spanish. Anyway, we talked about prayer. God wants me to move on. Am I saying don't get counsel from someone? No, I'm not saying that. Not at all. But it is wrong to seek counsel from man if you haven't asked counsel from God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I know the context isn't necessarily about getting advice, but I would greatly encourage you, before you make any kind of a major decision in your life, I would greatly encourage you to ask God. God, is this something I should do? God, is this something I should be a part of? Is this a decision? And then, you know, praise the Lord, God has put people in our path as a pastor or maybe a dad and a mom as well. And others that love the Lord, and then you should maybe go to them and say, you know, what do you think about this? But I still say, first and foremost, we must go to God. David went to God first. Number two, it's my opinion, if you will, from this text, that God enlarges people, not ministries. God enlarges people. Look what he said in verse number one. He said, God, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Thou hast enlarged me. How about we go to 1 Chronicles, please? If you could turn over there, please. 1 Chronicles. This was in our Bible reading recently. Chapter number 4. See, when we're praying that God would enlarge Anchor Baptist Church, do you know what we're really praying, what we ought to be praying? That God would enlarge people. Individually. And we know what happens when we are enlarged. I'm not talking about, you know, we have to break down the wall over there and build a, you know, add on, you know, and we're into the motorcycle shop and we get to pick a Harley out every week and ride it around. No, I'm not talking about that. Pray about our building need, though. Pray about it. I hope you're praying about it. I actually, try to remind me that I'm going back to individual, okay? I actually sent a text message this week to the building owner. I want to share this with you because we're talking about prayer. And I just said, do you know if we're going to be able to have any time in this building in 2026? He said, I'll let you know next week. So only the Lord knows. It's in the Lord's hand. But it is something to keep praying about, where God would put us in a permanent meeting location. Pray that God would do that, would you? God enlarges individuals. And we go, I don't know who's the furthest to the back. Brother Alex, I see you, but maybe there's somebody behind you even. Abigail's back there. And if Abigail gets enlarged, I'm not talking about physically speaking. I'm talking about a heart for God. And if we get all of us all the way over here to Brother Barry and Jay, all the way back around, and we all have an enlarged ministry in our life, not the church, but I'm talking about you. Me. God enlarges you. God enlarges me. Look what happened here in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Maybe you've read this verse before. It's interesting because it's right in the middle of all of this genealogy. And all of a sudden, verse 9, we learn about Jabez. And the Bible says, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called him Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. I always chuckle when I read that. But anyway, we'll keep going. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. That's a good thing to do. Maybe make a note of that. When is the last time you called on God? I'm not talking about for your meal. Pray. I hope you do thank the Lord for your food. But I'm talking about when is the last time we called on God? I mean, we are in distress. God has us there for a purpose. It isn't to put us through the ringer. God wants to make us more like Jesus. God wants to God is the potter. We are the clay, right? And we are in his hand. I'm so thankful that we can. It doesn't matter how much pain emotionally or physically. I'm not saying it's not important. It is. We've all experienced it. But knowing that I'm in the hand of God, that's in John 10, by the way. You need to mark that down and read it afterwards. If you're saved, you're in the hand of God. Look what Jabez said. And he called on the God of heaven of Israel, saying, oh, see the emotion? That's what that word oh means. O-H, okay? There's some emotion here. He's not just, okay, God, this is me, Jabez, again. I'm so glad I can come into your presence. That's not oh. There's some distress maybe behind it. There's some passion behind it. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Who doesn't want to be blessed by God? And notice, enlarge my coast. Enlarge my influence. Enlarge my heart for you, God. Enlarge my impact. Then he says, that thine hand might be with me. Can you imagine if everybody in Anchor Baptist Church would say, God, I'm in distress, but God, I need you to enlarge me in the midst of this distress. And God, please, I'm claiming that if you did it for Jabez, God, I need your hand with me. God, as a husband, I need your hand with me. As a dad, I need your hand with me. As a mother and a wife, as a worker, as a student, as a grandma, whatever your hat, all the hats that we wear, God, I need your hand with me. That my hand might be with me. Notice, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. Wow. Do we ever need to pray that? Yes. It's part of the model prayer, isn't it? We studied that yesterday. I do remember that in our prayer time. It's there for a purpose. God, keep me from evil. God, help me to say no to temptation. Scripture says, yield not to temptation. I'm so glad that temptation is not a sin. Oh, but yielding to it is. God, I need your help in overcoming whatever it is, keep me from evil. Then he says, that it may not grieve me. Notice that. That it may not grieve me. You know, a lot of times we think that evil grieves God. I would say it does, right? Jesus Christ died for all sin, right? Past, present, and future. But here Jabez says, I don't want to be involved in sin because it grieves me. You've heard this before. Some of the most miserable people in all the world are Christians who are backslidden. You know why it's not a lost person? Because they don't have the Holy Spirit. They can live however they want, and the devil is just saying, keep going. But the minute you get saved, praise God for salvation. Do you remember when you got saved? You remember when you got saved? You say, I don't know, that saved, what is that? Okay, hey, that's fine. You're not saved, that's okay. You're right here. We have the gospel. God loves you. And maybe today, April 27th, 2025, that could be your birthday, spiritual birthday. But do you remember when you got saved? Think about it, you got saved. You know that you're on your way to heaven. Your sins are forgiven. But you know what? We still have this old nature in us, don't we? We still have this old nature in us that loves to do wrong. And there's a battle going on. The battle is between the Holy Spirit of God, who wants Ben Turner to be walking in righteousness, holiness and purity, not so that he can be self-righteous, but so that he can bring glory to the God of heaven. And then there's the old nature who Satan is waking it up all of the time and wanting my old nature to have the victory and the power over my daily life. And Jabez says, God, please keep me from evil, because I know that evil grieves me. Sin grieves us, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Sin doesn't allow us to live for the Lord. And so he says, God, please. And then I love the last statement of verse 10. Isn't that a good one? And God granted him that which he requested. Oh, hallelujah, amen, and praise the Lord. God, my name is not Jabez, my name is Ben. And God, I come to you this morning. I need you to keep me from evil, God. I need you to enlarge my coast, God. I need you to help me to be the man that you saved me to be. God, I need you to help me. I need you to minister in and through me. And I do this for your glory. And I don't want to be grieved by the sin in my life. God, I need you. And then, God, because you did it for Jabez, God, I'm calling on you. Please do it for me. God is not the respecter of persons. He says that right in his word. God works through people. What is the church? It isn't a steeple. Thank the Lord. We've never had one. Well, we had one over there on Armstrong for a little while, right? I'm glad it's not a building. What is the church? The church is a group of born-again, baptized believers united together for the cause of Christ, united together to preach the word. You may not be the pastor, but you can preach the word. Yes, you can take the gospel tracts. You can invite people to come to the Lord Jesus. You can invite people to the anniversary. You can invite people to church. And because why? Because we love the Lord, not even because we love them. First and foremost, because we love the Lord, and we know that God loves people, and God has always worked through a remnant of people. I see no beauty. Boy, I tell you what, I watched a little bit of, I don't even know what I was watching, but it had to do with the passing of the Pope. Wow, man, you talk about, I have no idea the value of those buildings in the Vatican. The money, millions, maybe billions, who knows? And I was captivated by all. And you know what I was thinking? All those guys had those special hats on. I don't know what they are. Pardon me. I'm not making fun. I'm just saying. I have no idea what's going on. It's just a man. And they all knew what was going on. And really, down deep in my heart, I must admit to you, there was such brokenheartedness that they're going through all of this. All this stuff. I must say that the enemy is just smiling from ear to ear, if he has a smile, ability to smile. I don't know if he does or not. Broke my heart. I'm just saying that hugeness of it all. Then later on, a friend of mine, I'd never met him, but I know his uncle pastors in Indiana. And his nephew's a missionary in, I think it's Benin. Is Benin Africa? Is that a country? Is that how you say it? Benin? He's a missionary there. Later on, I saw a video of him, because Sunday was already done, Brother Yassine. He was baptizing three people in what looked like nothing better than a horse trough. Do you see the comparison? Gold beyond all you could imagine, and oh, just unbelievable wealth. But deader than a doorknob. I'm talking about spiritually speaking, not physically. But here's a guy in Benin, Africa. All I saw was dirt roads. All I saw was poverty. And yet, not because they got baptized, because that's not what saves somebody, coming to Christ first. But here he is, baptizing new converts. And I thought, there's God working through one man who the world doesn't know, and no president or prime minister came, will probably ever come to his funeral. But he is being led of the Lord to go into an obscure place. Because why? God works through people. God wants to work through you. God wants to work through us. He doesn't necessarily, yes, the church. I'm all for the church. But the church is what? People. And I say this morning, if we all with Jabez would say to God, before the hour is up, God, enlarge me, enlarge my coast. And yes, that might mean distress is coming. But remember this, with the distress comes the hand of Almighty God. With the distress comes the loving, supplying hand, caring hand of Almighty God. A desire to enlarge my influence, a desire to reach more people with the gospel, a desire to fully trust God's will for my life. Think about it. We have 7 young people that are graduating from grade 12. 7 that I know of. Maybe there's 8, but I know of 7. That means it's a transition time for them. You know, we need to pray for these 7, not just these 7, but because they're leaving this stage and they're going to a different chapter. I submit to you, we must pray that they would fully trust the will of God for their life. Would you join with me in praying that? Because if we cannot trust God, who will we trust? I tell you who we'll trust. Unfortunately, we'll trust ourselves. We might go as far as to even trust the enemy. No, God has a perfect will for you 7. They're not all here right now, but God has a perfect will for those, you 7. I'm praying for you. My wife and I are praying for you. Please let us know if we can help you in any way. God, I need your will for my life. Not just need it, I need to trust it. That might mean distress. God is faithful. A desire to read and study the Bible more. A desire to see God extend me and bring him more glory. Notice, if you will, in verse number 3 of our text, he says, but know the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. Again, working with people. Working with people, the saved, the righteous. I say this, an available individual becomes a usable individual. Are you available? God, I'm available. I'm available for whatever, God. God enlarges people. Number 3, God's pathway to enlargement will not necessarily match mine. God's pathway to enlargement will not necessarily match mine. His thoughts are not our thoughts. The prophet Isaiah says, his ways are not our ways. Distressing times are a part of every life. The key is that I respond. I said that earlier to them. What am I learning? How about verse 4? Look at verse 4. I love the beginning of verse 4. Stand in awe. What is this saying? This is saying, focus on in the distressful times, lift up your eyes into the hills from whence cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer the righteous to be moved. And it goes on. I've forgotten part of it there, but you know where I'm at in Psalm there. Stand in awe. Think about it. You know, I was going to do this earlier when we prayed, but I forgot. And I guess the Lord didn't want me to, but he's reminded me now that when we enter into his presence, we enter into his presence with what? Praise. Courts with praise. Enter to his presence with thanksgiving, right? I think it is. And into his courts with praise. In other words, we don't stand in awe and look at God and say, God, here's my wish list. No, we stand in awe and we say, God, you are holy. God, you are righteous. God, I'm thankful that you have called me your son, your daughter. I'm your child today. As I stand in awe of your goodness, even in this distressful time, I'm going to stand in awe and I'm going to see what God is doing. And basically, David is talking to himself right now. Have you ever been guilty of that? I say this morning, let's quit talking and moving and listen to God. God is speaking. The question is, am I listening? The question is, are you listening? Notice verse 5. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Remember, His way of getting you expanded, right? I'm not talking about this way. I'm talking about our influence. It's not going to be maybe how you would write it up. You know, this is how I would write up. You know, I'm going to get married to Mr. Wonderful, and Mr. Wonderful is going to carry me over the threshold, and it's going to be peace, joy, love, and happiness until the Lord comes or we die. You know, not every marriage is like that. But we can have a marriage that is honorable to the Lord even when distress is there. And it will be there, okay? It's going to happen. How do we do this? Like the psalmist said, trust. Put your trust in the Lord. So we saw David talking to God. Then we saw David talking to man, his fellow man. I didn't mention that. But now we see, now he's talking to himself. That brings us to number four, and we end with this. Thank you for listening. Peace always follows God's enlarging. Remember what takes enlarging? What takes enlarging, class? Distress. But guess what follows distress and enlarging? Peace. Again, when we're standing in awe, there's a formula here. When we're trusting God, notice what he says in verse number 7. David said, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased." He's talking about the evil, if you will. Their corn increased, their wine. I mean, they're having, if you will, in an old word that was robbed, but they're having a gay old time. Gay, I'm talking about happiness. Not what's been robbed, okay? Stole that word. It's a good word, gay. David said that even though they've got the wine and the corn and they're having a gay old time, he said, "I've got gladness in my heart that nobody can take away." And then he says, look at this, verse 8. Oh, I love this verse. I've had to meditate on this verse so many times. God is faithful. I want you to know that. And I hope you know that, not just because I said it, but you know it in your life. "I will both lay me down in" what? "Peace" and do what? "Sleep." Oh, boy. Yeah. Distress is coming. Enlargement is coming. But we're standing in awe of God. We're trusting in God and God alone. He will carry us through. He will do what he said he would do. He will answer our requests like Jabez. And then guess what happens? We get to pillow our head at night. And yes, there might be, last night for me, tossing and turning. I have no idea why. It was a toss and turn night for this guy. But praise the Lord that he met me in the morning. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Amen. And we can lay down in peace and sleep. Why? Because God promises this. He says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." He said in the book of Philippians that there will be a peace that passeth, Philippians chapter 4, there will be a peace that passeth all understanding. You will be going through a distressful time. You will be going through a challenging time. All the while, God is molding you. God is making you, wanting to use you to bring glory and honor to him. He's enlarging your coast. He's bringing people into your life that you would have never had into your life, maybe, or the impact that you can make. And you're standing in awe, and you're seeing God in this. You're praying, not complaining. This all works together. I hope the Holy Spirit's putting it together for you. I feel like I'm a little mumbled and jumbled and all over the map today. But I hope the Holy Spirit is putting it together for us from the Word of God. And then we have a promise. We have a promise that peace will come. As we go through distress, we are to trust God, wait on Him, and peace will follow. By the way, at this time, David had upwards to 3,000 people after his head. I've never had that, have you? 3,000 soldiers looking for me, and they're not going to, it's not keep alive, you know, whatever that, I can't remember that little, you know, you get, turn them in, dead or alive, right? Dead or alive, that's what I was trying to think of. It's not alive at all, it's dead. That's what's happening in his life. 3,000 soldiers. David had gladness in his heart, even in a distressing time. This gladness surpassed what the wicked had in times. This gladness surpassed what the wicked had in times of so-called prosperity. If you are in distress this morning, God has more for you to grow. You are in his loving hands. God has more for me, and God has more for us to learn. God has more people for us to impact. In your distress, speak to God first. In your distress, God is enlarging you. In your distress, the pathway of God will not match yours. And in your distress, know this, peace will follow. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Thank you for listening. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just think for a moment about eternity? I'm not going to dwell on this, but I must mention it here in the invitation. I think there were 9 people that were, their lives were taken from them, at least 9 that were, went to a festival and never came home. Again, I'm not trying to be unkind, but that could have happened to any 9 people. I wonder, you know, had you been in that spot, had I been in that spot and my life be taken from me, where would I be? Where would you be? You say, I really don't know where I would be when I die. Well, I'm thankful that we have a message from the Bible that can help you understand not what Pastor Ben says or the Baptist Church says, but what does God's Word say? And you can know you're on your way to heaven based on the principles of the Word of God. Jesus Christ, he died, he was buried, he rose again because I'm a sinner. I needed someone to pay my sin debt. You need someone to pay your sin debt. There's only one person that can do that. That's the Son of God. And Jesus already paid it. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes, it takes faith. Faith in the Word of God. Faith in the Son of God and what he did. Is there anyone here this morning, you say, Pastor Turner, I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to call you out or anything like that, but I would like to pray for you. Pastor Turner, pray for me because I don't know that when I die I'm going to heaven, but I'm definitely thinking about that. That I need to get that settled. Would you raise your hand if that's you? I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Pastor, pray for me. I'm thinking about what you're saying. I need to get something settled in my heart. Is there anyone like that? I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you, but I will pray for you. Okay, I'll pray for you. Thank you for that. Anyone else? Again, I'm not going to embarrass anybody. It's not what this is about. Others of us are here this morning, and we say, you know, I know I'm saved, but God spoke to my heart in some way. A verse of scripture that you went to, Pastor, or the principles behind it. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I trust we'll be doers of the word and not hearers only. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to stand if you're able to. The pianist will play. And if we can help you in any way. Just respond to the Lord, not to me. We have a good God. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the finished work that he made on the cross and the empty tomb, and that we can know we're going to heaven. Father, I pray for this one that raised their hand and said, I'm thinking about this. I thank you for that courage to raise the hand and just ask for prayer. And so we're praying right now for this individual, that this individual would even know before they leave this building, because of what the Bible says, they can know they're saved and ready for heaven. Lord, I would imagine there are more than just this one that are in this room right now. I don't know because I can't see anybody's heart. But Father, you can. If there's anyone else that's not sure they're saved, they're thinking about it, they would speak to someone before they leave. Father, I pray for this entire group today, wherever we're at in life, Father, that we would think about this formula from Psalm 4. In Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you please stand with me? The pianist will begin to play. As the Lord leads, would you come? Would you come and talk to the Lord down here at the altar? If you can't make it up here, you can make an altar out of your seat. But you can, if you can come, would you come? We'll have one more verse. As we say here often, just because the service ends, it doesn't mean that you can't meet someone. The service is over. Rejoicing in what God is doing in our hearts. Thank you so much for being here this morning, and if we can help you in any way, we're going to pray and dismiss the meeting. Tonight, we have the Gospel Farsi Ministry at 4. Please pray about that. And then we have our meeting at 6, which the youth group will be meeting after we dismiss them, and then the Patch Club right away. I wanted to mention as well, we have a special presentation tonight after the service, before we sing. So maybe if we could make sure that both the Anchored Youth Class and Patch Club are up by 7:15. Just everybody come up. Don't wait for us to come up and be ready. As soon as the preaching ends, we have some special presentations to make for those that have gone through some kind of discipleship / Bible Institute in the Gospel Farsi Ministry, and they've completed different things. And we'll explain it tonight, but it'll be a great encouragement to the entire church body. And then right after that, we'll sing, and then we'll go downstairs for the fellowship time. Again, visitors, thank you for coming. I hope to meet you before you have to leave. We'll pray and dismiss the meeting. Heavenly Father, thank you for the great time that we could be in church this morning. We pray for those that are not well, that could not come, that you would raise them up, bring them back to us at the next appointed meeting. for those that are still away traveling, that you would give them safety as well. Father, again, our prayer is that we would not just listen to a sermon, because honestly, my words are very minimal, but your words are very maximum in impact, that we would not just listen to a sermon, but we would listen to the Word of God, and then we would seek to obey the Word of God and the application from the Word of God. And then, Lord, if there's anyone in our midst that is thinking about salvation, that you would continue to guide them to the truth, because we know the truth sets us free.